His warm tongue moves languidly over my skin, and my body beneath it is on fire. He swipes his tongue over my belly and lower to my sex again. He's so hungry. I'm so hungry. I want to touch him. I reach out and run my fingers over his chest, his muscles visible in the city light streaming through the window. He kisses the inside of my other thigh. I squirm and thrust my hips up in a silent plea. His tongue dips into my sex, tasting me. I'm about to come. It feels so good. I'm so hot for him, it's not even funny. I can't get over how good you taste. How gorgeous you are. His eyes look tender and wild as he kisses my sex for another minute, watching my reaction, and it's an intoxicating combination. I pull him up and kiss him. He kisses me back, tasting like me. Our tongues move, our hands searching, his exploring, mine kneading. He grabs my hips and leans in to lick his tongue across my nipple. I gasp and thrust my chest upward, and his laugh again brushes over my skin. Don't laugh at me. This is serious, I groan. It's very serious. He kisses my sex lips with a languorous, wet tongue. I buck, but he stills me with one hand on my hip bone. He eases his thumb over my clit and starts rubbing in circles as his tongue dips languidly inside me. My clit is getting rolled in delicious little circles by the pad of his thumb, and I'm biting down on my lower lip to keep from moaning too loud. My breath comes in a fast, choppy rhythm as Matt shifts back and strips his jeans with fast, powerful jerks of his hands. I see all of him, golden skin and muscles, and I salivate in silence. He's well delineated, athletically built, and perfectly proportioned, and I want every inch of the guy. He rolls on a condom. He's so big and thick, I lick my lips, screaming silently in anticipation. This is what you want, Charlotte. And then he pushes in. He's so thick, and he moves fast, taking me by surprise with the delicious stretching sensation in my sex. I go off. Oh, God, Matt! My orgasm gains intensity, a curling, twisting, tightening rope, stretching from the tips of my toes to the tips of my fingers. I groan 1 second, and the next I'm experiencing the most intense, breathtaking, body-shaking, soul-shattering orgasm I've ever had in my life, caused by Matt's thick cock inside me. I'm bucking beneath him, the pleasure almost agonizing, clutching onto his shoulders for dear life. He grabs me by the hips and moves inside me, faster, deeper, and shouts as he releases. He holds me against him as he comes, really hard, his cock jerking several times inside me, bringing me to a second orgasm. Cursing under his breath, he continues rocking his hips as he brushes my hair back behind my face, prolonging the pleasure, gazing down at me until the convulsions in my body turn to tremors, and then to lingering little shivers. Then he rolls to his back and brings me with him, brushing one stubborn, wet tendril of red hair back again. I'm panting against his neck. I'm sweaty. We both are. I shut my eyes, not certain that just happened, and not certain that I don't desperately want it to happen again, even if it shouldn't. My body throbs from the way he just fucked me. My nipples feel sensitive. I stroke my finger up his chest. I'm curled against his side. My mouth is probably red. I love that his mouth is red from my kisses, too. His hair is rumpled, and even in this state, he looks like he could take on the world. And then I'm reminded that soon, he will. I glance at the clock on the nightstand, wanting time to stand still, wishing we could stay in this moment, for our lives to be different. Him just a guy, me just a girl. The two of us just here, with no expectations from anyone but each other. No campaign, no media scrutiny, no guilt for knowing our actions affect not only us but those around us. The team, my parents, his mom, the country. Your mother isn't thrilled that you're running, is she? I ask, stroking my finger up his chest as the tips of his fingers feather my back. Matt peers into my face, looking puzzled and amused that I chose to ask him something about the campaign rather than what just happened. How do you know? She has avoided every event and isn't speaking about it. He drags his hand over his face, then curls his arm behind him as he slides his hand under his pillow. She worries. He tightens his other arm around me and I curl closer, craving his warmth. Matt is staring at the ceiling, thoughtful. I know they're close, he and his mother, and I really feel for his mother. Her husband was brutally killed. Matt is all she has. Of course she's concerned. But I can see Matt wouldn't be a man to back down for anything. Matt? When you told me about your biggest fear? I pause for a moment. Mine is to disappoint my parents, to fail to be whatever it is they wanted me to be, somebody great, responsible, respectable. Look at me now. I groan. He peers into my face, thoughtful, just a bit concerned. We're quite a pair, aren't we? He runs his fingertip down my nose. America's playboy and America's sweetheart. I grin up at him, still breathless. They may have thought you were just a gorgeous face, but they take you seriously now.
I take them seriously. And I take you seriously.
He strokes his hand down my face, his gaze so very warm and endearing.
I don't want you hurt. This shouldn't even be happening. I shouldn't have my hands on you.
He strokes a path down my body with those hands, the most delicious hands. Then he ducks his head and adds,
I definitely shouldn't do this.
He cups my sex in his hand and grazes a kiss along my cheek. I grab his jaw and pull him to my mouth, whispering,
Yes, you should.
He shifts above me, all stealth and muscles.
I can't get enough of you, beautiful. I just can't get enough.
He's so hard, he immediately rolls on a new condom. I wrap my arms around his shoulders as he drives slowly in, as if I'm precious, or as if he knows I'm a little sore. He moves inside me. I groan and relish it, clawing my nails down his back. I move beneath him. I know that it's crazy, dangerous, terrible for both of us. And I know that it's also exciting, inevitable, and nothing I could even contemplate denying myself. I cannot deny myself him. If I want to stop crushing on him, even after 11 years, he will be the only antidote. Linking my hands behind his thick neck, I raise my head and set my lips on him.
I'm hungry, moaning as Matt grabs my face to hold me still and tongues me.
23. Shifts. Charlotte. When I arrive at campaign headquarters early Monday morning, I'm not entirely certain if I should be feeling dread, anxiety, uncertainty, fear, arousal, bliss, or plain just happiness. All I know is that I can still feel him between my legs. Visions of Saturday flutter in my mind throughout the day and serve as beautiful, fleeting reminders of a night I will never forget. There is a visible shift, invisible to anyone other than Matt and me. Every time we lock gazes, there's a silent understanding that we now share something special. Every time I hear the sound of his voice direct his staff or make campaign-related decisions, I remember it whispering dirty things in my ear, moaning my name, groaning in release. Multiple times. Things have changed. I've been with him in the most intimate ways anyone can be with another, and it feels absolutely blissful. When I look at him, I get giddy, and my heart starts to beat faster and faster. If anyone spoke to me at that moment, I wouldn't hear whoever it was over the sound of my heartbeat, going crazy over this man. There is a change in him, too. It's as if his masculinity has been multiplied by 1,000. His smile holds more mischief. His walk is now more a confident strut. And God, his voice. He could be talking about state taxes, and by the tone in his voice, you would think he's describing sex positions. The looks are killing me. Sometimes they come with a sexy, private smile. Sometimes with no smile at all, his expression almost like a thoughtful frown. Sometimes they come with a look of surprise, as if he's surprised to catch himself staring at me. I try not to get caught staring too, but there's always that one second when I'm staring at his profile, and the next when he somehow feels it and turns and I quickly look away. It's just one second, but it's enough. It makes me try harder not to look and harder to be fully professional, because I know when he looks back that he's thinking of that night too. That Thursday, we're on one of the biggest college campuses in Colorado, and Matt is speaking to a besotted crowd of tens of thousands. He was pretty excited about this visit.
Our future rests in our college students and our kids. Hell, I can't stress enough how important it is to inspire them to get actively involved, make a contribution.
He told me this during the flight, and it made me doubly determined to make sure everything went smoothly all across the board. Even the weather seems to have been in on the plan, and the weather is almost a scheduler's worst nightmare. The sky is clear, and the crowd is larger than we expected. Matt's powerful speech leaves no doubt of his ability for leadership. As Matt stands behind the podium, there's a voice from the crowd.
Go, Hamilton!
Another shout from the crowd. Where have you been, Hamilton?
Sorry to have kept you waiting, he says, his lips shaping into one of his most killer grins.
My stomach shudders with excitement. The crowd keeps interrupting, shouting, Matt! You're our candidate, Matt! Sometimes Matt laughs or salutes them as if they're old friends. But when he turns sober, so do the people. His hands on the podium, he stands erect and confident as he speaks of us being the best, of how, in order to be great, you need to work harder than the rest. How the same old doors won't open to new opportunities. How easily being at the top has tempted us to drop the ball and relax on our own glory, a glory that we need to light up, as a nation, together.
No one man will bring you what you seek. No one will drop your fulfilled dreams right on your doorstep. So what is it that you want? And more importantly, what are you doing to get it?
Hamilton! 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 The people shout.
A ripple of happiness runs through my body as the chorus ripples across the stands.
God! They love him. They adore and worship him. And by the way he smiles and laughs at the praises they throw his way, he adores them right back.
No other candidate in the history of the U.S. has won the presidency at this age, but the crowds are coming to see him. His wealth and name would have gained a few followers, but it's his charisma, that earthiness, that relatability that he has that makes you feel as if he gets you, your problems, as if he knows what you need, even if you don't. And it's not only that, but compared to his competitors, the Republican frontrunner and the Democratic president, fossils, the both of them, he looks so young and strong, surrounded by a team with fresh, new ideas. The odds are against him, but the points are in his favor. America wants a change. America wants to grow. America wants to be young and powerful again.
How do you think it went?
Matt asks me as we head to the hotel. I shake my head and try to look disappointed, but when that smile of his appears, I can't keep up the facade any longer.
Standing ovation, I say, lifting my brows. People connected. That was insane.
Matt grins and stares out the car window, stroking his chin thoughtfully, his smile still there as he softly admits,
that was insane.
I hurry to bathe and make it on time for a staff dinner. I'm heading downstairs to meet Carlisle and other members of the team at one of the hotel restaurants. When the elevator doors open, only Matt is inside. My heart skips, and we share a smile as I step in. He smells so good, like cologne and soap, and the warmth of his body next to mine sort of intoxicates me.
What are you wearing under there?
You'll never know, I say, tongue-in-cheek.
More like I'll know by midnight.
He lifts one brow, warning me, and sort of kissing my lips with his gaze. The mere thought of being in a room alone with Matt tonight does nothing to calm my body right now. We step off the elevator, walking side by side with a good distance between us. He pulls out my chair when we arrive at our table, but Matt is typically courteous, so fortunately nobody seems to pay extra attention to that. Except he grazes his thumb along the back of my neck as I take my seat. It's a subtle touch. Completely stolen. And it takes all my effort to keep my whole body from openly trembling in response. We sit through dinner as the team discusses and discusses and discusses, and I can't quite calm the buzzing inside me.
He's watching me from across the table. I watch him take a sip of his water before he slips on his glasses to read the polling numbers Hessler brought. I'm suddenly thirsty and take a quick sip as well, trying to read the folder in front of me. When we leave and shuffle up in groups to the elevators, Matt steps into the same one I do. He's standing to my left the whole ride upstairs. His nearness affects me so much that I almost can't wait to get away. My heart is whacking madly in my chest. My shoulder burns where it grazes his hard one. I'm aware of how tall he is next to me, at least a head taller. I'm aware of his every breath, slower than mine. My floor comes up, and as I step out, I turn to say goodbye to the group. I look at Matt last. He's gazing at me piercingly beneath slanted eyebrows, looking a little thoughtful and a lot hungry, as if we didn't just have dinner. I go back to my room and wait for him to text me that the coast is clear. 10 minutes later, my secure campaign phone pings. 10 minutes more, warm hands are sliding up my skirt to reveal my underwear, pulling it down, revealing every single wet fold beneath. I'm in his room, and the next thing I know, Matt's wet tongue is in me. 24. Towel. Charlotte. We're in D.C. again. Matt finished our last tour early, and he requested a new expedited schedule, which I've worked on the whole night. He said he'd meet me at his suite at the Jefferson, which he used tonight when two members of his detail informed us that his home was too swarmed with paparazzi. Late in the morning, I knock on his suite door. I primp my hair and then chide myself. Stop primping, Charlotte. I expect to find Carlyle here, but when Wilson opens the door and allows me in, I find only silence. I wander past the living room with my printout in hand. I freeze as Matt steps into my line of vision, his large body appearing in the open double-bedroom doors. He's wearing nothing but a white hotel towel draped around his hips, his skin gold and smooth. God help me. The towel is hanging so dangerously low I can see the V at his hips. He's got long legs with muscled thighs and calves, hair dusted and tan. He's also barefoot. His hair is wet from a shower and slicked back, revealing his strong forehead and perfect features to their best advantage. Though he looks amazing in clothes, amazing cannot even begin to capture the complete athletic perfection of his shape and form and muscles. Every single muscle is defined and flexed hard. And those incredible arms. The bulging biceps as he lifts the small towel he has in his fist and runs it over his hair to dry it. He tosses the towel aside and runs his fingers through his hair as he turns his attention to me. Did you get it done already? Oh, yeah, that. Charlotte. Chocolatey eyes begin twinkling, and my entire body flushes as I realize he clearly notices me gaping, his hair looking haphazard and even sexier as he props those glasses on his nose and reads. I've tried to shift the next engagement so that our field team has time to arrive on the bus, but I can't help that flying always gets us in earlier, even though Matt hates wasting time waiting. This pushes us back a day, he says. He groans in displeasure, and inside me I feel a deep, instinctive, visceral tightening of my belly muscles at the sound. Not just my belly. My sex grips, too. Even my chest seems to constrict. All of that in reaction to that very male, very sexy sound. Reminding me too much of sex. Between Matt Hamilton and me. I'm sorry, Matt. I can't figure out how to get the rest of the team there on time to fit in another big speaking engagement. Maybe something small? Hey. It's all right. He slaps the folder shut and eyes me. Can he tell I hardly slept? His gaze softens. I should take you somewhere. Treat you to breakfast and coffee. I bite my lip. Matt's eyes darken. I release it. I wouldn't say no to a big vanilla coffee. Let's do it. I feel myself flush because it sounds too much like a date. We can't, I laugh. I can't even stay here for more than a few minutes for fear of them watching us even more. He sits and his thick thighs are revealed by the towel. I'm sorry. I can't really blame them for being obsessed with you, I add. He looks at me. All I can think of are his hands on me, my hands creeping under the towel, fingers touching his chest, and that big, heavy cock of his.
Wow, did I just think that? What is happening to me?
Come kiss me. Matt seems to read my mind. Startled by the command, I laugh and bite my lower lip.
What?
I said, come kiss me. I'm the one who should be nibbling on that lip. I take one step forward, Matt's eyes darkening as he watches me. There's a knock on the door, followed by the sound of a room key. I quickly take back the one step forward I took. Carlisle and Hessler join us. Carlisle dives straight into business after a brief, "How's our American prince today?" and a wink in my direction. Matt heads into the bedroom to change, I suppose. I should go. Matt steps out in slacks, buttoning up a blue shirt.
No, I'll take you home.
No, it's okay. I'm meeting a friend, actually, for a croissant and a catch-up. It's 3 blocks away. And her birthday is coming up. I promise to make it. I'll be home later. Call if you need me. I hurry outside, then check the time and head to my favorite coffee bar near Women of the World. I wait there for my friend Larissa. She arrives 10 minutes late, and all that time I'm sort of mad at myself for physically responding to Matt as hard as I do. I've tried so hard to be focused on work and my career. Why do I need to be falling for the man I work for? I exhale when I spot Larissa hurrying across the restaurant, trying to push America's Prince off my mind. We end up doing coffee, then shopping, and then drinks.
So, what's it like working for that god?
She asks me, lowering her voice as we sit at the bar of one of our favorite cafes.
No, really. Tell me. I'm dying to know.
It's exhausting, I say. Please, God, don't let my expression give anything away. That I want him? That miraculously he wants me? That we've slept together? That I still don't want it to end, and I'm pretty sure because of the proprietary way he looked at me at his hotel room, neither does he. As I sit there, lying through my damn teeth, I realize that for the first time in my life, I'm doing something that I shouldn't. I realize how uncomfortable it is to have a secret, to want to scream something to the world, but at the same time want nothing more than to protect it. Have the world never, ever touch any part of this precious secret of yours. For nobody to ever know your weakness has a name, and a heartbeat, and a very famous face.
I would kill for just one day in that campaign, Charlotte. I mean, Matt Hammy. Is he as gorgeous in person as they say he is?
More so, I groan, rolling my eyes. I divert the attention to her new boyfriend, and thankfully that's the end of my Matt Hamilton conversation. If only it were that easy to steer him out of my every thought. By the time I reach my apartment that night, I've had too many coffees mixed with alcohol. The exhaustion is weighing on me, and there's a pain in my temples when I step off the elevator to my floor. A figure sits by my door. A large figure. In a blue cap. Matt. Scrumptious. Hamilton.
I needed to get away. Mind if I crash here for the night?
A devilish light glimmers in his eyes, and his lips tug at the corners when he notices the shock on my face. Inside, I'm babbling and stumbling.
How did he shake off the press?
I'm pretty sure Wilson must have kept the coast clear for him to escape unnoted, but, oh my God, Matt is at my apartment door. My mother would die that he's at my shitty little apartment. I open my door with shaking hands, letting him inside, worrying she might be right. He's looking around with a frown, and suddenly my worries multiply, and I grab his hand and try to distract him.
I have a big bed. Come on, I whisper.
You really shouldn't live here all alone, he says, frowning deeply at me.
I smile and tug him toward my room, swaying my hips until that catches his attention. He follows quietly, his eyes taking me in now instead of my apartment. I kick off my shoes and lie down on my bed, wondering why he's not at the Jefferson Hotel with a Do Not Disturb sign on the door. Why he's here. I catch him glance around my bedroom and at my window, a look of protectiveness in his eyes. But when his eyes return to me and he sees me here, lying in my bed, sort of panting, waiting, his gaze shifts. It becomes partly tender, partly hot. And that alone gives me a hint of why he's here. Plus, knowing his staff never really lets him rest, I suspect the moments with me are his only rest times. The only times he truly disconnects.
Was your place really swarmed tonight again? I ask.
Yeah, but it always is.
He speaks casually. He kicks off his shoes, tosses his cap aside, and stretches out on the bed next to me, both of us on our sides, up on one elbow, facing each other. He smiles and reaches out to run his index finger down my cheek.
Couldn't stay away. Wanted to see if you got safely home.
Or just wanted to see me, I whisper.
Yes.
Suddenly he shifts over me and I'm on my back, with Matt's big body on top of mine. He's stroking his hand up my arm, his thumb caressing my skin, his weight the best feeling in the world next to. Sex with him. Do you really want to spend the night here? I ask, breathless, rubbing my toes along the sides of his bare feet. I'm sure your bed is so much more comfortable, or the one at the hotel. I'm babbling, aren't I? He's nodding slowly, looking at me. It's surprising to see you here, I finally admit.
A good surprise?
It takes me a while to admit it, but I do. Nodding. A good surprise.
Are you done?
He asks, curling his hand beneath my hair to lift my head up a few inches. His eyes are impossibly dark as I continue to nod. I swallow, then smile and raise my head a little higher. I don't have to lift it too far. Matt closes the distance between his lips and mine, and I'm being kissed for the first time on my own bed, little as it is.
We should get you a safer neighborhood and a better apartment,
he says, nibbling my jaw. No, I say, canting my head back to give him access.
Why?
He eases back. Because there's no we here. I'm not your kept woman. He pulls back and his eyebrows pull together.
You work for me.
I'm underneath you right now, Matthew. He smiles, shakes his head chidingly, then eases back to eye me as he smooths a hand to brush my hair back.
I like how real you are, Charlotte. The way you stand up for yourself and the way you stand up for others. I like how honest and hardworking you are. How sweet you are.
He captures my lips between his, brushing his hand along my forehead again, looking into my eyes.
Can you blame me for wanting to protect you? I never thought I'd meet a woman like you. That pushed all of my buttons like you do. I want you against any hard surface available, and I want to shield you from everything at the same time. I never expected you, and I didn't expect you now.
It takes a few seconds to find my voice. Did you really believe you'd never meet anyone who would be herself with you?
Most worry too much about putting up a front they believe matches mine.
I don't.
I know. Which makes you rarer than anything to me. So precious.
His voice thickens as he expresses his appreciation. I grab his jaw and kiss him, and Matt grabs my hands and pins them over my head, kissing me, softly but with an underlying urgency and force. And then I'm getting disrobed and taken in a bed I've always slept on alone, by the only man I've ever really wanted, and the only one I can't really ever have. Not if he wins this. But I take what I can get, moaning softly beneath his kiss as his roaming hands move over me. 25. The Last Primary. Charlotte. The next weekend, Matt visits his grandfather in Virginia. I'm sort of glad for the distance. We're sinking too deep. Though a part of me wants to get in deeper, deep enough to drown. I know that's not the best for him, for me, for anyone. Matt is a stallion in bed. We spent all night touching, coming, and talking at my place. Neither of us slept, and neither of us seemed to want to sleep. I didn't want him to go. I am addicted to the times we spend together. I keep wanting more. But at this stage in the campaign, we're not playing with fire. Our secret scandalous affair is a nuclear bomb, and any slip-up in keeping it hidden will be the match that sets it off. My parents have me over for dinner one evening and grill me on the campaign. I know, ever since growing up in their household, that in politics, discretion is a must. The last of the primaries are tomorrow, and Dad says he heard Matt had been courted by both parties but had declined.
You're doing a good job combating decades and decades of power shifts between the two parties. But is it going to be enough, Charlotte? What's Matt's plan if they attack, find some scandal in his past?
Dad, I'm not his shadow, and I'm not a mind reader either. I'm busy helping organize his schedule, and that's that.
Will we be invited to the fundraiser for literacy he'll be holding near campaign close? Mom asks.
You're on the list. Everyone's on the list, even the whole of Hollywood and Nashville. Matt loves music, and he loves, loves scientists and tech geeks. The campaign has had endorsements so far from nearly 6 dozen public figures. Even Mayweather posted on his social media with an image of piles and piles of money and a note that read, "Floyd Money Mayweather doesn't do $200 checks. I do cash," and it adds up to a couple more zeros.
I realize how fantastical it all sounds once I hear myself talk about it. How does Matt sleep at all? How does anyone carry the expectations of a whole country on his shoulders and carry it well?
We're not sure we can attend the gala, though, Dad warns me quietly. You do realize my appearance at such an event would be an endorsement, too?
I meet his gaze and nod quietly, wanting to ask him to please, please endorse Matt. But I respect him too much to ask what he's waiting for. I simply know he's afraid that no matter the people, the parties will make sure the one who ends up on top won't be Matt Hamilton. Later that same night, I check in with my friends at the same bar where I celebrated my birthday months ago.
Hamilton for the win, Kayla says over dinner. He has my vote, and I know he has yours.
I laugh, saying, of course. She frowns.
Wait. What? Does he have more than your vote?
I laugh it off, but oh God, it's not at all funny. How could I let this happen? I'd been afraid it would, and I admit to myself that was primarily the reason I was hesitant to join his campaign. But you can't control who you crush on. Except a part of me believes that you can, that it was wrong of me to fall the way I've been falling, that I know it can go nowhere. But still, I want him. And I think of him. And despite wondering if I've let things go too far, if maybe I should quit before they get worse, I've stayed. Craving to make a difference. Craving to be with him. I look at Kayla, and she has a good guy. She's the one being taken home tonight, who has a job she loves and parents who didn't care if she was a teacher or a guitar player. She's actually both. I have a job that's temporary, a man I can never truly have, and if my mother realizes that I'm dangerously attracted to Matt, she'll worry. They wanted me in the arms of a promising politician, true, but not the candidate for the presidency, who every woman in the country believes belongs to her. I swore I'd never be a politician's girl. They either cheat on you with another woman or with their jobs, or the truly sleazy ones cheat the voters who put them on their thrones. But no matter how distasteful I find it all, I live in D.C. I live and breathe politics. Politics has fed me my whole life, put me through a career. Politics is now my job. Politics is in every pore and cell of the man consuming my dreams. The fact that he's driven and the most uncorrupted person in the political world as of now only adds to his appeal, to my admiration, to my respect. My desire to remain at his side until the end is too great, no matter how much it hurts the girl inside me who just wanted a guy to love and for him to love her back. That night, I climb into my bed in my little apartment, realizing how lonely I really am when all around me is quiet. Campaigning is exhausting. It's also invigorating and enlightening. We've met with hundreds of thousands of people. You get to see all the varieties, all the ethnicities that now make up Americans. You get to see courage, suffering, hope, politeness, rudeness, anger, despair. All of that is America. Sadness is when you don't listen to those in pain until they're crying. You don't listen to those suffering because sometimes they're the ones most silent. The next day, we're all gathered at the bunker preparing to watch the primary results. And I miss him. I miss his energy and the passion I feel when I'm around him. I miss traveling with him asking me for favors, like getting him coffee. And I miss the focused looks he wears when he puts on his glasses and reads the schedules I bring or the files he asks me to print out. Tonight, nearly 100 members of our team are here, watching the flat-screen TV in one of the media rooms as we watch the last primary. The two men in the lead for the parties are the Democrat, President Jacobs, and the Republican, Gordon Thompson. President Jacobs. The only good thing he's done for our country he has yet to do, which is step out of office and let someone more competitive with better ideas step in. Gordon Thompson. He wants to increase the military budget while cutting spending on social programs. He seems really pro-war. And clearly interested in the ratings Thompson seems to garner, the media has been nonstop replaying what he's been blogging, Facebooking, and spouting on TV when Matt arrives. He meets my gaze. Our eyes seem to lock for an eternity. Matt stops staring only when everyone begins to greet him. He greets them back amicably and then sits to my right. The lights are lowered, and then they're out. The TV flashes and everyone is silent, watching and listening to the speculations about who the Democratic and Republican nominees will be. And I'm trying to keep up, except that I'm hyper-aware of Matt sitting exactly 2 inches away. I am aware of the warmth of his body, and amazed at the crackling trail of fire in my veins because he's so close. His clean, manly scent makes my lungs ache. An overpowering urge to get closer won't leave me. I lean back a little instead. I breathe and then realize he just turned to look at me. He's staring at my face as if he's branding it to memory, and it seems to frustrate him because he runs a restless hand over the back of his neck. He stands and goes to get himself coffee. Then he stands a few paces to my right, staring at the TV, frowning very hard. He looks so good. We've been in a blur of campaigning in reception halls, high schools, and college gyms, sprinting towards election day. Things will get even more intense after today. I'm sure we'll spend another few months away from D.C. And suddenly, I don't know if I can do this. If I can live with this relentless little ache while I travel with him, watch him kiss those babies and genuinely truly hold them because he wants to, not because it's good press. As the news continues, he flashes on screen. Full head of tousled sable hair with highlights. The entitlement reflected in his informal dress only makes him stand out more. Matthew Hamilton's good judgment, drive, and discipline are going to be strong weapons against the Republican and Democratic nominees, the newscaster is saying before they head back to tallying the results. So here we are, watching the early returns as the presumptive nominees of the opposing parties are named. No surprises there, Jacobs and Thompson. Though Hessler is still surprised, it seems.
What the ever-loving crap. One is about as old-fashioned as a goddamn priest. And don't get me started on the other. There aren't enough bullpens in the country to hold all the bullshit he spouts.
Hessler groans of the opponents. We all seem to glance at Matt for his opinion. Matt runs his hands over his neck, frowning thoughtfully.
Our government will keep whoever wins in check. That's the beauty of our system.
Hessler huffs. As long as they don't cozy up to the idea of issuing a ton of executive orders.
Matt smirks at that, then stares thoughtfully at the TV, obviously weighing his opponent's virtues and flaws. I stand up and head to the kitchenette outside the viewing room and have to pass by Matt. He doesn't move to let me go by. His gaze darkens as I approach, and he reaches out impulsively to my neck. Gently, he seizes the eagle pin at my collar. He strokes the eagle with the pat of his thumb. Once. That's all, his eyes shining with pride as he does. I hold my breath. He searches my expression with curiosity, and his smile fades. He's still holding the pin. I'm afraid that he can see I'm almost panting. Damn my body. There's a little hurricane of butterflies in my stomach, and I'm afraid this guy, so damn perceptive all the time, can see it too. I'm nervously inching back, and the move makes him drop his hand. He finally moves to let me pass. And Mark suddenly follows me for a refreshment.
Something going on with you two? He asks.
Yes, I say, annoyed at how nosy he is. Nothing.
Good. Phew, I was worried for a moment.
I press my lips together and extract a water bottle from the small fridge.
It's all everyone talks about here. All those phone calls from girls claiming they're Charlotte and they want to talk to Matt.
Maybe their names are Charlotte. I close the fridge and crack the bottle open.
All 3 dozen of them? No way.
He shakes his head and wiggles his eyebrows.
There's only one Charlotte as far as I'm concerned. And unfortunately, there's also only one Charlotte as far as Matt is concerned. He can't stop looking at you.
Mark, nothing's going on. He grins then, and he leans an elbow on the doorknob.
Good. Do you want to go out with me this weekend?
Excuse me?
A date.
He grins. I hesitate. Then realize Matt is still a few steps behind him. He'd been in a conversation with Carlyle, but is now looking in my direction. If I'm determined to get him out of my system and nix any rumors about us, too, a date is a way to go. Other fishes in the sea, no need to go for the great white shark. But all I can say is, not until we win. Then I quietly step out and go back to the viewing room, sipping my water. The crowd soon disperses, and I find myself battling the urge to linger behind and ask Matt about his weekend. I head to the elevators with the crowd, doing my best to force myself to go home. Matt frowns when I pass him dismissively. He moves abruptly to stop me, taking me by the elbow.
Hey.
I look up and glance around, concerned that anyone could have seen, but they've all shuffled into the elevators. We stare at one another, and there are 1,000 messages in his stare that I can't decipher but somehow feel in my belly, like a tangle of crackling wire. Lips tipping upward in an adorable way I try not to notice, Matt waves me forward. I cautiously walk with him. He has so much power, he's not just a person, but a presence. He's wearing a smile, a wicked little twinkle in his eyes as if he knows everything. He frowns down at me and jerks the knob of his office door open.
After you, Miss Wells.
He smiles like a gentleman, but his stare is that of a naughty caveman as I go inside and he shuts the door behind him. I inhale for courage, but there's one thing about his office here in headquarters. The upper half is glass, and anyone who returns to the building could see us. My heart is thudding madly as I hear him approach from behind. He slides one hand around my waist and pulls me back against the wall of his chest.
Your hair smells good.
I exhale.
Always different, he adds as an afterthought.
We're always hotel hopping. I'm at the mercy of what's offered in my room.
This is real, though. This is yours,
he murmurs. He seizes my shoulders, his tanned, long-fingered hands giving me a delicious little squeeze. I try to suppress my reactions as I turn around in his hold and lift my eyes to his face. He's staring down at me quietly, as if trying to figure me out.
So, Mark, he says, his eyes scanning me.
What Mark?
He lifts his brows pointedly.
Oh, you mean Mark?
Mark Connolly.
His eyes flick to the door, then to me.
What does he want with you?
Nothing. He's just a friend.
You sure?
There's an odd little hum in my body when I see the roiling swirls of darkness in his eyes. Is Matthew Hamilton, the man who has everything, the world at his feet, jealous? The angle of his jaw looks about as sharp as ever. I'm sure. Nothing's going on yet.
Yet?
He wants a date, but I want to concentrate on the campaign first. I didn't decline him outright because he was speculating about us.
I see.
I want to know what he's thinking, but he shudders his gaze and simply looks at me.
He's too old for you,
he finally states. He's 1 year younger than you, I counter.
He's divorced. Completely ineligible for you.
I shrug. I have other options. My friend Alan has been trying to make things serious for years. His eyes widen.
There's no winning this one with you?
He laughs and rakes his fingers through his hair, frowning in a mixture of amusement and puzzlement. Although Matt looks calm, I fear there's some sort of tempest lurking in his gaze, something being held tightly under control. I remain silent while I struggle with 1,000 things I want to do or say. I missed him. I missed his face and the way he smells and the way the office buzzes when he's here. I missed waking up with tangles in my stomach simply because I know I'll see him. I also don't like these feelings, but it's hard to push them away when they're simply there. Stronger than ever when he's near.
Why are you even considering going out with him?
Because, I glance away and then whisper, it could help dissipate any rumors between us. And because you're under my skin, Matt. There's a silence. I stay in place even when all my instincts tell me to walk away and not look back.
Don't go out with him.
He waits a moment, then adds,
with any of them.
He draws me to his chest, shaking his head chidingly down at me. I hesitate, then I lean forward and set my cheek there. He turns his head into my scalp and inhales. Then he nuzzles my nose and strokes his thumb across my lips.
He presses gently down on my bottom lip to open my mouth and rubs his thumb over my tongue. My eyes drift shut. I suck his thumb and then take his hand and turn it and kiss his palm. His hold tightens and he drags his face lower, his jaw slightly stubbled as he presses his lips to mine. We groan as our tongues flick over each other again and again. My hand fists his shirt. He slides his hand to cup my buttock and drags me a little closer as he parts me with his mouth and kisses me again. I groan his name. Matt. He snaps his lips back and looks at me, breathing hard. Reality comes to me slowly. We're at headquarters, with glass surrounding us. I'm kissing the Prince of America. President Jacobs. Thompson. They would leap all over this. Matt seems to know what I'm thinking.
The guy you campaigned for. I don't know how not to be him. That's who everyone expects me to be.
He touches his fingers to my cheek.
But with you, it's different.
I exhale as his words sink in. What he means is that in the dark of night, he doesn't want to be president, or Matthew Hamilton. He wants to be just a man, able to lose control without having a story the next day in the media. I want to hold him to me, and I want to tell him that I love the way he loses control, and that I love the fact that he wears all of the expectations the world has placed on him because he just happened to be named Hamilton really well. Instead, I simply ask him for a ride home, wondering if a man as isolated as Matt has ever really let down his guard with anyone before.
Lose the tails. I want to drop Charlotte off,
Matt tells Wilson after we get in the car, and Wilson makes a few movements, slipping into several underground parking lots to lose the tails, before he pulls over in front of my apartment. Matt follows me inside my building. His face is set, and he looks thoughtful. If you're still thinking about the Mark thing, now you know how I feel watching 1,001 gorgeous women throw themselves at you. He laughs, then drags his hand over his face.
I'm jealous. I'm man enough to admit it. I'm jealous of any guy who can take you out, walk down the street with you in his arms.
My eyes widen at the confession. Matt Hamilton jealous of any normal guy? I feel like I can't compare anything to the delicious electrical current the words send through me. I'm melting down my thighs to my toes as I walk to my apartment. One of my female neighbors appears. Charlotte, I... Matt turns. My neighbor stutters. Oh, wow.
Nice to meet you.
Matt smiles easily, and my neighbor's eyes can't flare any wider. Matt sends me a questioning look, and I briskly announce... Matt, my neighbor Tracy.
A pleasure, Matt,
my neighbor calls. Matt greets her, and then I lead him into my apartment. The paperwork is right here, Mr. Hamilton, I say as I usher him inside, making sure Tracy hears and praying that will keep her appeased. Once we're inside, I tell him pointedly, my point, about the girls either throwing themselves at you or dropping to the floor for you. It's so dark in my apartment, I flick on a lamp, and it still feels like the shadows are engulfing us. I enter the kitchen and pull out a loaf of bread just to try to keep my hands busy, not going to his shirt, his jaw, his hair. I'm going to make myself something to eat. Sometimes I get dizzy when I haven't had any food for a while. Want some? He drops down on a stool and drags out the other one with his toe so he can prop his foot on the footrest and lean forward.
Look at you, he says.
What?
Quite the little homemaker,
he croons appreciatively. I prepare a sandwich, laughing. I can't think with Matt in my kitchen. I know some recipes, I boast. Jessa would teach me when I was young. The day you and your dad came over, I was shocked the president's food would be tasted before he could eat. I glance at him. It was the highlight of my life. I felt like I'd been selected for something special, which is why I bought the pin. I was even inspired to join Women of the World because of that. I kept you very present in my mind. I laugh. He just looks at me, and I realize he seems a bit thoughtful. Please, don't be so charming. Don't try to impress me. I would probably vote for you anyway. I laugh, and he doesn't laugh. He stands as I bite into my sandwich, and as I chew, I lift the sandwich in offering. He watches me finish chewing, and when I set down my half-eaten sandwich and wipe a napkin across my lips, he silently tucks my hair behind my ear, leaning forward as if he wants to be close. I say, nervous now, Really, I'm smitten with every part of you already.
I freeze when I realize what I said, and my eyes widen, and his eyes darken and narrow as he lifts his hand and drags his thumb across my lips, a mix of rough and tender, lustful and loving.
If you're so smitten, why are you giving Mark even a second's thought? He husks out.
I'm panting. You haven't dropped that? That's totally an only son syndrome. Not sharing his toys? I tisk.
He looks as if he wants me up against the wall, and I want to run my tongue and fingers all over him.
I can give a second to Mark, I add. More than that after the election. You can't have it all, Matt.
But I want it all. And you want me to want it. You want me to want you. Is that what this is about? With Mark and now this other guy?
No.
Don't go out with Mark. Don't go out with what's his name. He's not right for you.
He shakes his head and strokes my lips with his knuckles now.
Don't give these lips to just anyone.
They're too pretty.
And too rare.
And they're mine. I groan and put my hands to my face, hating that I'm still that 11-year-old with a crush. Except now the crush is crushing me in his embrace.
Matt.
I lift my gaze.
My neighbor saw you. You have to go.
Are you worried she'll be daydreaming about me?
Cockiness flits in his words and across his lips.
No,
I deny.
But maybe I am.
It's the rumors, then, he says, his gaze darkening.
I nod. But I'll say I seduced you, that I had evil designs on the White House. A smile plays on his beautiful lips as a new texture laces his voice, making it sound rougher.
Charlotte, there's nothing remotely evil about you.
There is, because I shouldn't even be here, wanting what I want from you, knowing what's at risk. I'm evil personified. In fact, I've never sunk so low.
He takes a lock of my wild red hair, curling it around his index finger. His frown is puzzled, but his eyes seem nothing but fascinated.
Why do you insist on claiming you're stone-hearted and evil? Is that a secret fantasy of yours?
He tugs the hair a little forward, which draws my entire head a bit forward as he adds,
because I happen to like you as you are.
My voice turns smoky.
I simply like to point out I am multifaceted.
He tugs the strand closer and my brain starts scattering. There are many parts of me you don't know.
Like,
he releases the strand and uses his finger to trace my earlobe.
The fact that I have the courage to... I have the courage to seduce you.
Really?
There he goes, laughing at me with his eyes again and causing wild little flips in my stomach. I step back and tug on my top, my heart beating faster and faster as Matt continues looking at me, his smile starting to fade.
You don't believe me? I prod.
He just looks at me, his stare wolfish and intense. I grip my teeth together in determination and slowly undo all the buttons, then part my top and shove the material over one shoulder. The trace of laughter in his eyes becomes shadowed with heat as his gaze falls on my bare shoulder. Suddenly there's nothing but silence in the room. Nothing but silence and his eyes tracing my shoulder, up my neck, to my lips, then looking straight into my eyes. I've lost all power to breathe. He always towers over me when he's close, and right now he looks all male, dark, and there's a little bit too much testosterone in the air. Matt has never looked sexier than he does now, standing there battling a battle I don't want him to win. I lick my lips and gather my courage as I shrug off the next shoulder and draw up my arms to cover my front. I watch his face, afraid of his rejection, afraid of my own recklessness. I should probably stop right now.
No. Matt should probably stop me right now.
I should get out of his personal space, or more likely, he should get out of mine. And yet I let the shirt drop, and Matt remains before me, his eyes fixed on my face, dark like twilight. More silence. Matt is so focused, so passionate. I've never seen such passion in a man's eyes before when he talks about the United States of America. I love it, but I also love the way he looks at me with the same passion now. Me. Just me. He can have any woman he wants, and yet he chooses nobody. He's chosen his country for now, and I know I should respect that.
What are you doing, Charlotte?
The seconds pulse, and I stand before him in my skirt and bra. I can't think of anything when he lifts his hand to touch me and slowly drags his knuckles up from my belly button between my breasts,
up my neck, then back down. A caress, soft as a feather, the bump of his knuckles barely grazing my skin, his gaze grazing mine with that gentleness, and a tormented frustration I'd never seen there before. It's etched in every line of his handsome, perfect face, in the line of his jaw, the set of his lips, as if they're pressed together to keep from pressing against mine. I have no words for the things, the want, that I'm feeling. I've never wanted anything the way I want, need, for Matt to kiss me right now. I can barely speak. "Do you believe me now?" I swallow. "Aren't you going to stop me from taking off the rest?" He runs his knuckles up my torso again, this time up my throat, where he spreads his fingers open under my jawline, his open hand encompassing my face as the heel of his hand cradles my chin. "Quiet now. I'm going to look at you for a long, long time." His hot eyes turn my bones to cinders. I swallow, dazed with desire under his gaze. He brushes a kiss across my cheek, his breath warm. "I'm going to make these cheeks flush bright red with the ways I'm going to let my fingers play with you," he says. Then he leaves his nose there and inhales against my skin. He caresses up my sides, his nose grazing my ear now. "You're so passionate. You've got more love for your country than anyone I've ever seen, and it drives me crazy when all that fire comes alive for me. I won't mind watching that fire burn right now." My voice is thick with lust and longing. "Our country is wonderful," I say, only responding to the first comment. "And you're wonderful in bed," I think to myself. But I'm not feeding his ego anymore. The world does that in excess already. "You know it would be wonderful," he says, twitching his lips thoughtfully to the side. He cups my ass in his hands. "What would be exquisite?" he continues. He squeezes the mounds and in one jerk pins me flat against his chest. "You." He dips his head. And Matt is kissing me. Hard. Almost as if punishing me for the mark thing, for tempting him, for I don't even know what. His tongue thrusts, that first thrust, wet and hard and oh so good. His grip tightens on my neck, possessive. He deepens the kiss, if that's even possible. "I thought of this mouth all weekend, and these gorgeous breasts." He curls one hand around my breast, the other on the back of my neck. His hand is warm and gentle on my nape, and as he fondles my breast, the touch is so wanted, all I can do is absorb the feel of that large hand teasing my nipple, breaking me apart. While the other is cupping the back of my neck as if it alone holds my spine together, keeps my body from falling, my cells locked together. He looks down at me and pinches my nipple and pulls me closer a little roughly, and I hold my breath, a breath that is scented with him. His lips curl a little, and heat charges down my body. I inhale sharply when he lifts his hand and runs it up my curves, looking into my eyes as he traces the contours, flesh and blood. But he looks at me as if he thinks I'm made of something else. His fingers edge into my waistband and then into my panties as he starts gently kissing me again. I open my mouth and breathe. "Matt." He inhales me, then starts kissing my lips again. Hot, firm, urgent. I groan and wrap my arm around his neck. "Matt, I didn't think. You need to go," I groan, pushing my tongue into his mouth, grabbing fistfuls of his silky hair. "I know that this is... We can't. Are you going to stop, or am I going to have to stop you? Please don't make me stop you. I don't know if I can." I groan. I not only worry that my neighbor will hear us, that a scandal will erupt, but I also don't know how much more of him I can take before I hit the point of no return. Or maybe I've already reached that point. There won't ever, ever be a man who excites me like this one. He's all I breathe, all I see, all I want as he lifts me up to the kitchen counter, and I gasp in surprise but hang onto his shoulders for support. He reaches under my skirt to pull down my panties. His eyes meet mine and hold them in his penetrating gaze as he takes my mouth with his and starts rubbing my folds between his fingers. I don't know how to feel, how to react. My world is fragmenting, piece by piece. There is no reality, nothing but my arms around his neck, clenching, and his hot mouth and his expert fingers giving me what I need. "Matt," He holds me on the kitchen counter and my knees are weak as he opens up my thighs to make more room for his fingers. Need burns fiery bright as he slides to inside me, cupping my breast in his hand, caressing, pulling his mouth free of mine to roam down my neck to suck on a nipple. I break apart in his arms, beneath his touch and his kiss. Only after I come, with him saying, "Shh, I got you," against my lips, do I seem to return to earth. I stand on shaky legs, and he grabs my hips and rests his forehead on mine. His eyes are lit up with heat and devilish mischief, melting me a little more, if that's even possible. My voice comes out breathy.
"Wow."
I lift my hand and set it on his jaw, stroking him with a tenderness I'm not sure I've ever shown him. "It never feels like enough. I keep craving more of you."
He turns his head, placing a soft kiss on the inside of my palm. Voice thicker and more textured than ever, he says, "We're not done yet."
He gingerly kisses the inside of my wrist as he draws my hand to curl it around the back of his neck. As he brings me flush, he ducks his head and kisses me goodnight. The kiss slow and languorous, an underlying hunger in every thrust of his tongue. I'm trembling, weak from my orgasm, as he's whispering, "I'll see you tomorrow, beautiful." And he pecks my lips, slowly, almost as if in gratitude, and he's gone, telling me before he exits, "Lock up." The next morning, I'm flushed as I dress for work, anticipating the moment when I see him. When the hectic pace of our campaign catches up with me and Matt spends all morning running, I almost think I made it up. It didn't happen, all the things he said, all the ways we keep sinking deeper. But my mouth feels that last lick of his lips on mine. And when Matt finally gets into headquarters and looks at me, the look in his beautiful dark eyes keeps reminding me that it definitely happened, and that he means for it to happen again.
26. Never enough of you, Matt. I can't seem to get enough of her. I've been biting, nibbling, kissing her, sucking her. We're in the shower, and I've got her stripped to a camisole and flimsy white underwear. I shift the shower head and aim it toward Charlotte, then watch the water slide down her curves. I take in the pink, hard little peaks of her nipples against her top, the cotton clinging to her wet body. My eyes trail downward to the lace of her panties and her pussy, visible through the wet cloth. My eyes rise slowly to her face, and her tongue darts out, her eyes wide with concern. There's more than concern there. There's yearning, and a little recklessness. Matt? My throat feels thick as I reach up to touch her cheek with my thumb, trailing it down her jaw as I lean toward her ear. "Yeah," I say, looking into her eyes, then at her sweet mouth. The mouth I want beneath mine again. Here there's no reason for me not to take it, devour its softness until she gasps. I inch down and slide my arms around her waist, pulling her closer, then I brush her wet mouth with my lips. I'm using her. I can't use her like this, but I can't stop myself. My alarm wakes me. I jerk my arm out and shut it off, then pull back the covers and head to the shower stall. 10 minutes under the cold water and I still can't cool down, counting the hours until I can get her alone again. I want to see Charlotte tonight. I need your assistance again. Wilson glances at me as we have coffee in my suite at the Jefferson, waiting for the rest of my team to get their asses over here. Wilson eyes me in silence, then drags his hand over his bald head.
"What are you doing, Matt? I thought you worked this shit out of your system in college, man."
I shake my head. "It's not what you think. It's different with her." I meet his gaze. "I want you to treat her differently. I want you to protect her as if she were me. If this shit gets out, I don't want Hessler or Carlisle throwing her under the bus."
"It won't get out. Not on my watch," Wilson states.
I clench my jaw and stare into my coffee and just see her. Only her. I can't not pursue her. I can't give her up yet. I laugh sardonically. "You probably think it's an obsession, but it's more than that. She means more than that. She grounds me. She obsesses me. She fuels me. This woman not only makes me want to be a great man,
She makes me want to be the best goddamn president that ever lived. She's what I never knew I wanted, and have discovered that I need. I know full well I'm going to have to give her up soon, but I can't bring myself to give her up yet. Wilson nods. I got your back.
27. Intense. Charlotte. Before we left D.C., Matt booked us a suite at a small five-star hotel where he had one of D.C.'s best restaurants deliver an amazing dinner. It felt like